Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils. And you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
I think we're rolling. I think we're good. This is the second time that we're trying this. So if, you know, Tim, if it doesn't work this time, maybe we might have to make it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine.
But
that whole conversation about Wawa versus Sheetz is just on the scrap heap forever, I guess.
We know when people want to pay the extra money, they can get the behind the scenes stuff. But for anybody that missed it, apparently Sheetz is a thing down in Maryland, and it's a wannabe Wawa, but it can't hang, right?
I don't know. Sheetz is pretty fucking good. Wawa clears for hoagies and subs, like all
what
day,
about
every
coffee?
Day. I don't really get like coffee from there. I have a pretty nice coffee machine at home that I use.
See, I like to just stop at Wawa in the morning and get my 20-ounce coffee.
It's good. Do you have your guy like that? You like, hey Jim. How are you?
No, I don't. I'm very polite when I'm out. I'm very, you know, I say hello to people, have a good day, whatever. But to strike up conversations, no. I kind of just have my headphones in. I'm usually listening to, like, you know, XM, listening to NHL Morning Skate or whatever. And I don't – there's a couple of people I see there. But that they go through so many fucking people. It's like, you know, because there's honestly, in a matter of like a mile, there's 2 miles, I'll say. One, two, three – three Wawas. So it's crazy. A lot of people work in all of them. So I see different people a lot. So you have your guy at Sheetz?
Same thing. Like, I don't go there enough. Like, I don't have like a routine to go there. So not really. And honestly, like, the one kind of culture shock from moving from New York City down to Maryland is like, I could, like, walk out the door and get whatever I wanted. You know, I could get, like, a six-pack, a pack of Marlboros, and, like, you know, a hooker if I wanted to. Like, you know,
porn magazine, you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some Jergens and some tissues. And here, like, everything is, like, 20-minute drive. Everything. It's like I am just pounding my car into the ground right now. And, like, the closest Wawa is 25 minutes. Sheetz is, like, 15, but – you know, there's like a little Dairy Queen that's close to me is like 10 minutes away. It's weird.
Partook in.
Which I just hammered a cookies and cream DQ. That was delicious. Really gonna help my way in tomorrow morning.
That's a whole nother subject too that you'll get on the extra bonus feed, the birthday parties at Dairy Queen stories. Yes. Which was the first place I played Donkey Kong. So Bobby will be joining us soon. He's having technical difficulties with his computer. I don't know what the hell's going on. And then all of a sudden we were recording and it just threw both of us off. So the Gremlins are out today. So hopefully it's weird because I had on, I was listening to XM most of the day, the NHL network, and they had a lot of like hiccups too during their broadcast. Like they would suddenly, like there'll be some commercials. I usually start it like I usually try to go on like around 9 o'clock in the morning and I'll rewind it like till set to 7:30 in the morning and I'll start. So then I could fast forward all the commercials and I never have to listen to commercials. I absolutely despise commercials, whether it's on radio or TV. I hate them. They to the point now they make me angry, and that's something I have to fucking deal with, but yeah, they make me angry. But anyway, like they would have the commercials and then all of a sudden, like, you know, the normal music would start and then the guys would jump in, but there'd be some dead air and you'd hear like them talking, but they're not talking.
That's weird.
Like, it's not what they're going to be like. Yeah. So my car had a flat this weekend and, you know, and then all of a sudden the music would kick on. And so I'm like, okay, so they're having technical difficulties too. So something's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's only been what, 4 days?
If this is the worst that happens from it, then that's all right. We're in good shape, but I highly doubt that.
So is now a bad time to tell you that I worked in advertising for 20 years?
No, go for it. You were Bobby went to school for advertising. Did you guys ever discuss
that? No, we didn't at all. Yeah, I kind of felt backwards into it. You know, that's I was a media buyer, so I'd negotiate all the deals with TV networks on behalf of advertisers. It was a cool job. Like I've been to the Super Bowl 7 times.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I've been to the Masters twice. It's like I had like, you know, it was in New York City, so I reluctantly spent a lot of time at the Garden, although a lot of the time it was in suites. But yeah, I've been to Miami. One of my funnier, the Miami Super Bowl in 2011. So what they do every year as a guest of the NFL is they kind of flag. Was that
Pittsburgh?
No, that was New Orleans.
Oh, okay. New Orleans, Denver.
That was Peyton Manning, that interception by New Orleans.
That's the Super Bowl the Vikings were supposed to be in.
Yes,
The Bounty Gate NFC Championship game. But go ahead. I digress.
It's all right. It's just, you know, I also saw highlights of when the Giants beat the Vikings 41-0 in 2008. But
they were stealing signs. You know that, right? Like, they were totally stealing. Like, there was talk even afterwards. Like, they had played Philadelphia the week before, and Philly came out after the game, and they were like, they fucking stole all of our signs. Like, and they I don't remember how they did it or whatever. But or how Philly thought they did. So nobody paid any attention to it. But then watching that game. Now, let me preface this, okay? I'm probably about 23 years old at the time, right? I've never seen the Vikings in a Super Bowl. And I had lived through the 1998 debacle. Gary Anderson, right? Never missed. Missed a field goal in 2 years. We're in overtime against the Falcons. He misses a field goal and the Falcons go to the Super Bowl. So now we go to the, you know, 41 donut or whatever the score was. And I'm watching the game and like all I kept thinking about was, and now everybody in my life is a Giant fan at that time, right? So my phone's blowing up. I'm ready to like seriously fucking kill somebody. I'm so pissed. But they knew every freaking play that the Vikings were doing. Like, it's crazy. And I know that the Vikings, they were a good team then. And the Giants were like,
yeah, they were.
Meh. Like, how the hell did the Giants get that good? And then when it all came out.
That was a surprising game.
Yeah. And then what happened? Your boys whooped them post to post, end zone to end zone in that Super Bowl, right? That was Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that was. Yeah. Who the hell was Trent Dilfer's was quarterback in the. Who was quarterback in the Giants?
Wasn't Eli at the time?
No, this was before Eli.
It was pre-Eli.
Kerry Collins? I think it was Kerry Collins.
God, was it?
Yeah.
There's so many guys like that from like the 90s and 2000s. He was like, oh yeah, that guy was a quarterback.
Kerry Collins, who was drafted, I think he was drafted by Carolina, and he played, he was pretty good too. And yeah, he brought the Giants to the Super Bowl, but yeah.
One of the cooler things the NFL did is they had a flag football game every year with they have former pros as your quarterbacks and current pros are your coaches. So Warwick Dunn and John Lynch were the quarterbacks, and all the guests were like played in the game, you know. So they're like some people brought like their 18-year-old kids, and you know, some of them were like fat asses like me. And Warwick Dunn threw 4 interceptions and got so pissed.
He's not a quarterback.
I know, but it's, like, he's a professional athlete. Like, get it together, Warwick. But it was funny because, you know, we were pulling up in our bus, like, Miami Beach had this beautiful prefabricated field right on Miami Beach with a scoreboard and stands and everything. And there are, like, a good 4,000 people in the stands, like, expecting some sort of, like, real celebrity type of football. And then it's a bunch of idiots like me getting off the bus.
Right.
You know, me and this, you know, I'd slept for 2 hours. I came like straight from like this Playboy party. And me and this other dude are like smoking cigarettes as we're walking across the field. And you can just see like the fans just be like, what is this?
Right.
And they just left. But there are like 10 people that stayed, and we actually had fans for this game. It was hilarious. But I mean, I was like, I was running in the backfield. I was like, I'm going to sack John Lynch. And then he was 10 yards that way. And I was like eating a face of dirt. I was it's like, all right, that's not good.
That's not a guy I would fuck with, John Lynch.
No, he's
a big dude.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, these guys are monsters. Yeah. You just don't realize it. Same when you go to like a pro and like an NBA game and you sit up kind of close. You're like, these guys are fucking huge.
Yeah. The first time I ever had like that moment, that holy shit moment when it came to a professional athlete, we've told this story on the show before, but In 1996, the winter of 1996, Bobby was going to school up in Rhode Island, and me and Dan and another one of our buddies, we used to go up. Dan and I used to go up to Rhode Island probably twice a month. Because we were going to college too, but our classes were over on Thursday afternoons, so we didn't have to go back till Tuesday. So we would hop in the car and we'd drive to Rhode Island. So Bobby used to work at the Providence Civic Center. He was one of those t-shirt girls that would run out on the ice with the t-shirt guns and shoot them up. So that was what Bobby did. So this was when the Fleet Center was being built in Boston. Yep. So there was a preseason game between the Flyers and the Bruins. So we were there and we were sitting up by the press box, and right off into like the next section, maybe like 10 seats down, was the whole Legion of Doom and Ron Hextall. Now, we had just beaten them in the Eastern Conference Finals that spring and won our first Stanley Cup. Bunch of kids start going up to Lindros, you know, 88 jerseys, wanting to get him signed. This asshole would not sign. And I'm talking, these were little kids. It wasn't like, you know, like parents going up and shit. Like, no, these were like 9-year-old girls and stuff that had their jerseys that wanted to. He didn't sign anything. So he stood up and got away, walked away from everybody, and he walked into the press box. Now, we were sitting right next to the press box, so I had to stand up. I had to stand up to let Lindros walk in front of me. Bro, I'm just looking up. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's fucking huge. Like, it was one of the biggest men I've ever seen. What's he like, 6'4", 6'5"?
I mean, 6'5", yeah.
It's just a monster and thick. So, of course, you know, we start like, hey, Hextall, what's wrong with your boy? Like, he, you know, and so Hextall actually came over and sat over by us. And we were bullshitting with him. And I think Dan was wearing a Devil hat. And, you know, and he's like, oh, great. Now everybody's on the bandwagon. And I'm like, we're from Jersey, man. He goes, all right, if you guys live there, he goes, I'll give you the pass. Right. So, but he was awesome. And we bullshitted with him for a while. Lindros and LeClaire and Remberg, they had gone back down to the bus, and Hextall just sat there with us. And then like the game was over, he's like, shit, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm about to get fined. And he like ran down to catch the bus, but he was awesome. Awesome.
That's cool. I love stories like that when you hear like a professional athlete kind of understands that part of, and you know, conversely, like Lindros, you know, can, you know, eat the fattest bag of dicks for doing that.
Right.
Especially like little kids. Right. Like, and that's kind of one of the things that I like, you know, when you see like clips and highlights of Jack, you know, like the interview he gave last night after the game, like he could not give two fucks about answering those questions.
No.
But then you see like the community work he does and like going and coaching little kids, and you really see him kind of like energetic and engaged, and like he remembers these kids' names, and it's like, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you.
And I've heard so much about him like that. He's one of the funniest dudes too. Like, he's got this great sense of humor. He's a really funny guy. I'm like, wow, we don't see any of that personality. Like, none of it. Like you just said, he absolutely hates being interviewed. Like, I've never met, like, this is why this guy might not ever be able to wear a C, because I just don't think he ever would want to talk to people.
No.
After every game. No. But, you know, go ahead.
Do you know what he can do?
He can get 3 points and lead this team against the Montreal Canadiens. Wow, what a game for Jack. I mean, he was just on fire. And we kind of talked a little bit about it, right? Like, we knew that that's the type of game that, you know, there is going to be some open ice there. And if Jack wants to, you know, strap on the shoes and take it, he could basically do whatever the hell he wanted. And he did, man. That was just a really – what were your takes on that game? Positive takes.
Yeah. You know, first period, just dominant period, you know, and you could tell, like, right out of the gate, Jack was flying. Like, you can kind of tell with him, and you'll see Jack, for as good of a stick handler as he is, he fumbles the puck a decent amount, just for no reason. Not like he's getting poke checked away. He'll just kind of lose the puck, like, when he's handling the puck.
You think
a
thing with him where he's like thinking 3 steps ahead, and sometimes, like, you see it sometimes with wide receivers, right? They just hit that little glance up the field and they don't catch an easy pass. Like, you think it's sometimes like that? Like, I know what I'm going to do and I know where I'm going as soon as I get this puck, and you just take your mind off of that one objective there and you fuck up.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I've never thought about it that way, but yeah, that actually probably is exactly what it is. You know, it's that sort of losing that focus for like a split second. But last night you could tell just his hands and his feet were in sync, and he was just cooking from the get go. And
he was tired of the what's wrong with Jack shit going around.
Right.
You know?
I know. Yeah. I know. But you know, Montreal is a weaker team, and you know, whatever, you have to play the games that are on your schedule, and you know, hopefully this kind of unlocks him. And he said it himself after the game. He says it feels like we're about to pop off.
It
like
does.
That is kind of his sense of humor. Is he has these little you know. Gen Z-isms.
Yeah, now everybody goes on heaters when they have a 3-game win streak.
Yeah.
And Jack started that. But yeah, it definitely does seem like there's one player that, you know, now I think we need to focus our attention on what's wrong with Dougie, but we'll jump into that a little bit later.
We'll dump on him later. Yeah,
we'll shit all over him. But I was just so impressed with the way that line played, all of them. I mean, all three guys ended up with goals. Brad had two, and then that third line too, I thought played so good for the Devils. Like that pass that Holla made to Siegenthaler for that third goal. I think it was the third goal. I don't remember.
Yep.
But what a beautiful pass. Just a lot of hard work. Like those two, I guess the Jack line's now our top line, but our one line and our three line, as far as offensive goes, they were able to do a lot against Montreal. And then, you know, the Heischer, of course, that line gets the assignment of, you know, shutting down Cole Caulfield and his line. And they did a pretty decent job on Caulfield.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, that was the Montreal's dangerous line, and Nico got that assignment, and, you know, that third line, and, you know, this is doing no research whatsoever into it in any way, shape or form. It's the best third line in hockey. I'll say that without even looking into it, like just the way they're constructed, what they do, they just tilt the ice every time they're on the ice. You know, they're banging around in the corners, they're keeping the ozone pressure just consistent. And they got rewarded for it last night. Like Cotter won a great battle in the corner, kicked it over to Holla. That beautiful little pass, you know, through a maze of legs over to Siegenthaler. It was a beautiful goal.
When they bring the energy, when they come to play. And there's not many games this year that you can say they haven't, but when, you know, so it's usually what they do. When they come out to play, though, they can dominate any line. And I agree with you. They, you know what teams that have three really good lines and a very serviceable fourth line can do? You know what teams like that are built like that can do?
Yeah.
They can win Stanley Cups.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying this team's going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but I feel like Jack is 100% right, and we have maybe just started to scratch the surface about how good this team can be.
Yeah, and I was actually just looking at the you know, I'm not all that smart, so like, you know, the research the research, you know, that I could figure out on my computer.
We have a podcast called Uncle Puckers, Tim. yeah, let's name our Devil podcast a name that nobody will in any way, shape, or form put with the Devils at all. We're not, you know, the Trap, and I love Bill and his show.
Bill's good.
But like, you know, everyone has like, oh yeah, that's a Devil podcast. Like that's the Uncle Puckers. What the fuck is that? That's the dumbest name ever. So yeah, we're with you on that. But what were you
saying? That's fair. You know, it's not like you guys have a segment with a giant fart in it or anything.
But, no, not at all.
But if you look at the expected goals differential, which, you know, I get there are a lot of kind of stats and advanced stats out there, and I kind of use them as a barometer. Like if someone's not putting up like the actual, you know, basic, you know, goals, assists, points, you kind of got to look under the hood and be like, all right, well, are they playing well? You know, and I think, you know, that's kind of the usefulness of some of these advanced analytics. So if you look at their expected goals differential, since that Detroit game, which I think was, even though they lost, like I still think they dominated that game.
Absolutely.
That like it was kind of their expected goals differential. That means the difference, you know, between what they're expected to do versus, you know, what they did or what they're expected to do offensively versus expected to do defensively. The difference now is pretty flat until that Detroit game, and since then it's shot through the roof, and it's just kind of going up and up, and it's a cumulative number. So it's just going up and up. I'm looking at it over here, like people can see it, but it's pretty remarkable to see it. I know. I'm like right here. It's this chart that I'm looking at right here.
So what does the chart that you're looking at right there say?
So like on the 24th, you know, their cumulative expected goals differential was -0.12, and then the next game it was 1. Next game is 1.6, and then 3, and then 4, and then 4.2, and now we're at 4. So it's just kind of gone up and up and up, and you know, I think we're seeing that. You know, like the first period against Montreal was great. However, you know, the second period wasn't all that great. You know, they kind of let Montreal get back into it, but they held the lead. You know, they kind of held on to that. You know, there were a couple of breakdowns, and then in the third period, same, more of the same. They kind of held on to that lead. They got that fourth goal, which is really important. And again, that was that Jack and Brat, that little filthy pass, that little backhand pass that Brat made, like just like that Mercer pass, man. Like I don't think I can express the degree of difficulty for him to be able to kind of slide that the way he did to the exact right spot, an inch from the defenseman's stick with like the perfect pace on it where Jack can catch and release. It's just remarkable how good these two are. And that line is really starting to cook. And you know, I'm not ready to write my Andre Palat apology letter yet, but like he's fitting in on that line. He got rewarded with that goal. And some of the quotes were pretty funny after the game. It's, you know, and I'd hate to say if some of these guys listen to this, I don't think they do, but you know, this is from Jesper Bratt, and it's pretty clear that they hear a lot of what the fans are saying.
Right.
So I was going to read this verbatim, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. I want to hear it.
It said, Palat's such a great teammate. He works really hard and creates a lot of space for me and Jack out there. He's taking a lot of the jobs, sometimes a tough job, that fans and other people don't notice on the ice. But it's really important to create space for players like us. So basically, Brat just told us that we don't watch the games too well.
He said, leave Andre alone.
Leave Andre alone. Look what you did to my boy.
All right, we will leave Andre Palat alone because, yeah, Brat's right. And we did – Bobby is the Palat hater in this group, and he's not here to defend himself on it. Right. But, you know, if anybody that's listened to the show for a long period of time knows that I gave Palat the benefit of the doubt for the last 2 years on everything. And in the beginning of this year, it was just like, all right, what are we doing? Like, he's on the Jack's line. He's on the third line. He's on the fourth line. Like, if we really don't know what to do with Andre Palat, then maybe Andre Palat shouldn't be on this team. That was my logic at that time. Now it does seem like he's found a home. And you know, we always talk about how good he is defensively.
Yep.
You know, his offense has been absolutely abysmal since he's been on this team. You know, his passes are not crisp. He does not get himself into good shooting lanes. He has not, you know, produced at all. Tough as hell. Really came through in the Ranger series 2 years ago. I thought he was fantastic in leading this young team that had no idea what to do in the playoffs. He really, I thought, set the tone. I like Andre Palat. I hope that it, you know, two goals now in three games. That's huge. You get him going a little bit. You know, he didn't miss yesterday. Like, that was a goal that normally he'll shoot wide or something. You know,
So, yes,
the apology letters are maybe not going to be in the mail just yet, but yeah. But we're starting to write them.
Yes, it's a Dear Andre.
Yes, I've gotten that's that far. It. And I probably spelt it wrong, but yeah.
Oh, man.
He's like, who the hell is this guy?
I was about to say something so insightful, and you just made me laugh. Now, it's he was never a play driving, point producing guy. Like, he's always been that kind of passenger. And I think, you know, this is one of those two things can be true type of scenarios. We were talking about this beforehand a little bit. It's like that type of player that he is. It's the contract. It's the $6 million. Right. You could have two or even three of those same type of players. That being said, like, the indirect value, I guess, if Brat and Jack have 3-point nights every night and it's because of some of the work that Andre is doing, fine. Not every team, actually a lot of teams, are in serious cap problems. And I think Fitz and his team do an incredible job managing the cap and mitigating kind of any sort of potential issues.
Yeah. And if Palat can bring that same intensity and just wherewithal to the playoffs this year, thank you know, hopefully the Devils are going to make it, but it looks pretty good. But yeah, so I mean, that's invaluable. Then okay, no one's going to complain about him. But there is a guy that I do want to complain about. You know, and I've really liked the way this team has looked so far, and I feel like, especially on our blue line, like, there is a lot to be happy about, especially with what we've gone through last year. But I'm not ready to shit too much over Brendan Dillon right now. But Dougie Hamilton has been bad. Like, he's just been defensively bad. What the? I know he was never the greatest defenseman, but, like, I don't know. Like, I'm ready to vote Jack Hughes for a Selke trophy the way he's been playing lately, you know? And why is Dougie Hamilton struggling so much?
It's, you know, and his biggest weapon has always been his shot. Dougie's has been. And I don't know if there's some sort of systemic mandate where maybe he's not like shooting as much. One of the most interesting kind of differences is that Brendan Dillon, his longtime partner, is +7. And I don't really like to use plus minus all that much. I realize it's a team stat, but if your partner is +7 and you're -2, something weird is going on there. And Dougie does have 9 points in 16 games. He has 8 assists. So he's piling up the assists. He's just not scoring goals as much as we are accustomed to. Like, Dougie was a fucking god in overtime during 22-23 two years ago.
Oh,
there he is.
Is he? Because I don't see him yet. Hi, Bob.
What the fuck? Hey, Tim, you sound real good.
Take a minute to vent.
You sound good. You actually sound loud.
Yeah. You can hear
Jesus,
him.
I can hear him. Yeah. Back off the mic.
I know. I fucking...
No, it's perfect. Shit. Leave it.
I hate my voice so much. That makes three of us. It's so annoying for me.
Jesus, man. Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
You expect to turn your computer and it works. That's all. Like, it's not even an old computer. It's just that Google Chrome wouldn't update unless I updated my whole computer. And that's just stupid. So here we are. Did you guys have fun?
Here we are. Well, We did. We wrote your apology letter to Andre Palat. Oh, so I hope,
let's not go there yet. Hold on. Do we need to dive into that?
We were just talking about Palat, and that Brat had come out and said that, you know, I don't know if you saw the quote.
Like, I saw that. Yep.
Okay, so you know what he said.
Absolutely.
So has your opinion of him changed at all in the last week or
so? It's definitely changed some. He is playing much better, and as we've talked about, listen, I'm still cheering for him, right? Like, if he gets going, this could be a whole different dynamic. I also completely understand what Brad's saying, and I've always said construction of a line is important. You don't have to have, like, these three particular type players. We've been saying that since we talked about comparisons with, like, the 2000 team. So I get that. I always felt that a version of a Palat-style player was fine, but he was still not doing what he had to do. He's doing it now, and he's complimenting the line, and he's not. I just looked at the stats before because I knew you guys were going to get me with this one. He's still producing at about half the level of Jack and Brat. Like, literally, Jack and Brat have 6 and 7 points. He's got 3, but he's playing very well. He's adding to that line, and if that keeps up, I'm completely fine with it.
Do you want to hear a statistic that just blew my mind that Tim just read? Tim, can you give the plus minus on the Dougie Hamilton, Brendan Dillon pairing again?
Yeah, so Dillon is actually +7, and Dougie is -2.
How does that work?
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens.
I didn't.
And because Dougie has been a defensive liability, but Dillon hasn't exactly been, like, carrying the water for him
either.
Interesting. No, they haven't. That's the one thing. I don't know. There just doesn't seem to be a great connection with those two right now. Like, you watched it even in a short time, and probably, you know, how many less games did Pesci and Hughes play than those two, but they seem to know what each other are doing. They seem to always be able to bail each other out, which is awesome and a great testament to those two and their skill. But I kind of feel like Dillon and Hamilton, just with the eye test, aren't really doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, they both have had their own individual kind of issues. You know, on the second goal against Montreal, Anderson's goal, where he just, you know, snuck past Jack and Dougie into the slot to pick up that rebound and put it past Markstrom. Then on the on their third goal, Newhook's end-to-end rush, Dillon, for whatever reason, it's 4-2. Dillon is below the top of the circle in the offensive zone, watching Holla in the corner for some reason. I don't know why he's there. There's no reason. He's almost like the second forechecker. It's like, why are you down there? And then Yeah, and then he kind of slowly gets back, and then he goes off for a change, and New Hook just blows right through the spot where the lefty is supposed to be.
Right.
And it's just, and then it, you know, goes in kind of awkwardly off of Dougie's stick. Right. I don't put that on Dougie. That's that. And look, I'm not going to put that one goal all on one person, but he was a significant problem as to why that goal happened. But New Hook did go through the entire fucking team.
Yeah.
On that end-to-end rush. So, you know, that was a failure across the board. But I see what you're saying in terms of the two of them not totally gelling. But looking at the defensive group as a whole, I'm very happy with how these guys
absolutely. That's why I like to find things to bitch about, even when the team's doing
well.
Good.
How about
we got to keep them on their toes. You can't let them get complacent. Next thing you know, we're losing Sunday to San Jose. So we got to be on top of this shit.
You know, we've been saying, too, about like Hamilton that – you know, his defensive miscues are amplified when he's not scoring as much. So I was surprised during the broadcast yesterday to learn that Dougie had 9 points in his last 9 games, like quietly.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that. And again, he's not scoring goals per se, which is really where his money is. That's, you know, we want those goals, those overtime goals, those game winning goals, but still 9 points in 9 games is nothing to shake out. And then, but yeah, that plus minus situation, that is awkward.
It is. It's so weird. I literally don't understand how that can happen. Like, and you know, I was saying this right when you were chopping on, like Dougie in 22, 23, 2 years ago was a god.
Absolutely.
In overtime.
Yeah.
Like the amount of overtime game winning goals and his goal in game 3 against the Rangers, just like and I think that's what we're not seeing. Like his shot is his primary best weapon. And it's the power play, the dynamics of the power play have changed a little bit, so we're not really seeing it much there. But yeah, he's still racking up those. There are probably a lot of secondary assists, to be perfectly honest, and on the power play. But still, 9 points in 16 games is nothing to shake a fist.
So you know. Hopefully then Mr. Hamilton can get going and start getting some goals. But now we got a break for commercial time. Oof. Sorry, to all the listeners, like, I know that this is like the part you fast forward. We don't blame you. We try and get it done as quickly as possible.
What about me? I'm coming off cold off the bench. Just got to jump right into a live read.
Hold on.
Just shake it out.
Get in there. Hey, Bobby, you missed us.
All right, I'll tell you, I'll go first, and then you can loosening up in the bullpen.
All right.
So, you guys know what I love Black Friday and Cyber Monday because, like, just tons of sales, you know, I can pick up an Xbox for like 26 cents at Walmart. It's awesome. And it's like the only days that you can get these awesome deals, except with Raycon, because with Raycon, you get an amazing deal on premium audio every day of the year. But that doesn't mean they're not having any sales for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. No. They're not bitching out like that. Far from it. They're actually doubling down on their amazing value by offering viewers of this show up to 30% off site-wide. It's a Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal you'll appreciate every day. Raycon's everyday earbuds, especially if you haven't checked out their latest model, which includes plenty of new features that make them even more of a must-have for any audio lover. For example, they now feature a 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. Raycon's everyday earbuds also come with active noise cancellation. It's a feature that's a must-have, whether you're taking a long flight or you just want to, you know, not hear the kids or whatever, but one that can be difficult to find an acceptable price point until now, because these everyday earbuds are part of the site-wide 30% off from Raycon. And Raycon's quality rivals some of the biggest names in premium audio. Raycon starts at just half the price as the other guys, so they're already an incredible deal. Even before you factor in the Black Friday Cyber Monday offer of up to 30% off site-wide. So now's the perfect time to scoop them up if you haven't already. And don't worry, if you're not as impressed as I am with Raycon, they will give you a 30-day fully guaranteed so you can't lose. It's time to save big for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get up to 30% off site-wide. That's right. You'll get up to 30% off everything on Raycon's website when you go to buyraycon.com/THPN. Hey, Bob, why don't you tell us about Game Time?
Would love to, and I'm sure that earlier in the podcast I missed all the exciting talk about how fun that game was, and it really got me thinking about how cool that game would have been to be live at. That's the type of game you want to be at. You want to see it. And that is exactly what Game Time can help you out. Game Time has this new feature called Game Time Picks, which makes getting tickets to see your New Jersey Devils easier than ever. It simply filters out all the fluff just to show you incredible deals on the seats you're looking for. Highly recommend going to the site. Every day that I go on, you will see last minute deals, sometimes in the teens, for tickets to a hockey game. You just can't beat that. They have a ton of different features. They have a priority Game Time Picks, which simply curates it to make it a lot easier to pick the sports or concerts or comedy or theater or whatever it is you're looking for. They have an all-in pricing guarantee or all-in pricing toggle feature, so you know what you're going to pay when you check out, and there's no surprise fees. They also have the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you up to 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time!
That was weird.
You don't like that one?
I don't know
how you want me to really accentuate this Game Time.
Sounded like at first, you know what it was? You didn't commit to it. Like, really? You started to commit to it, and then I think you bailed
out. I was going
out
for the Adam Sandler effect.
Is that what
was
that
it
sounds?
Not?
It sounded like a little Scooby-Doo.
It was Scooby-Doo.
I'll take Scooby-Doo. That's not bad. Game Time?
Yeah, all right. It was definitely Scooby-Doo.
Now that was a little Yoda.
That's fucking Yoda.
You try it.
I'm sorry to the listeners. This is the last ad. So if you want to fast forward 30 seconds or so, I'll try and go as fast as possible here. The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now. The puck's dropping on the 24-25 season. You can get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code THPN. You get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21+ age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, go to dkng.co/ice. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours.
All right, Matt. Who is that? Who is that speed talker guy that used to do like the cars and stuff?
Micro Machine.
That guy. You sounded like a little bit of that.
I try to do the disclaimer fast because it's annoying.
Good. Hey, I know you guys obviously were on the show for a long time before I jumped on, but I just
twice.
So internet gremlins everywhere today, right? So I'm sure you talked about everything, like Jack and everything. I just gotta mention, like,
Jack who?
Jack Hughes. He's on the Devils. Little guy, where's an A? No?
Little guy, where's an A?
Well, he's a really good hockey player. I just got to say, like, it was so cool to see, like, vintage Jack last night just doing what he does. And then more importantly, over the points, did you guys notice towards the end of the game when there was the empty net, there was one play where he was kind of going after the puck to get an empty net goal? It would have been a high-risk play. And instead of like chasing the puck down, he actually backed off and retreated to defense and then even did a better defensive play like 30 seconds later. I was really impressed by that because, you know, he's a go kind of guy and that puck was right there and he could have taken those extra steps forward and made a high risk play, but he decided not to and he backed off. I mean, that's growth for a guy that can, you know, do what he did offensively and still be able to rein it back when the game's on the line. Was very impressive.
We all know how amazingly creative he is when he gets in any kind of open ice, especially like, I mean, 3-on-3, the Devils are by far the most fun team to watch in the league, you know, and it's mostly because of him. And you saw it yet against teams that don't play great defense like Montreal, like he had, and he's fucking amazing. And then you see how much better he's getting on the faceoff dot. How now this year, where he's kind of, you know, not kind of, like, he's absolutely paying attention to the details, paying attention defensively, and you could tell he takes pride in that. He keeps on this trajectory 2-3 years, he'll be one of the best players. And he already is one of the best players in the league, but that would bring him to another level. Sure. That would,
It's you know, happy learned how to putt, you know.
Exactly.
And people have said this a lot. It's like Keith turned Matthews and Marner into perennial Selke guys, you know, guys that were, you know, A-plus offensive guys. And both of them get a lot of Selke votes. I think Matthews was top five in Selke voting.
It's incredible.
But I know, Bobby, I'm glad you brought up that play. And it's whether it was one of two things, whether he was like saw the situation, was like backed off, or situationally, he saw that it was Matheson, who's a really good skater and probably can go toe-to-toe with Jack on skating. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to go after Matheson here. I'm going to wait till he fucks up in the offensive zone. And then
either way, it's awareness, like you said. Either way, and that's great. Yeah.
It's awareness. And you're just kind of seeing that permeate throughout the team, just this awareness. Just these guys are just playing with such a good head on their shoulders. Except for maybe Dougie.
But I'll tell you, I noticed like how much more relaxed I am at this point so far in the season. Like, you know, they have a one goal lead in the third. I kind of sit back a little bit like, okay, this is they're going to handle this because, you know, they pulled how many times that, you know, a team last year pulled their goalie and they scored on us and we ended up losing in overtime or whatever. Like I kind of just was like, even when they put Jack and Brad out there together, you know, final minute of this game, you're nursing a one goal lead. It's 6-on-5 and Nico's not out there, you know, and Nason's, well, maybe Nason was out there, but like now you have Jack and Brat. Like I was totally comfortable with that. I was like, I really like the way this team plays, especially defensively. Like they haven't, I mean, the bad games that they had were total, you know, but they really haven't had any big meltdowns. I don't really count the big meltdown that happened in Calgary. It was a bad goal late, you know, a lucky goal, we can say late. And then, you know, the Devils had to take a couple of chances if they wanted to try and pull a point out, and they got burned. That wasn't like last year where every bad thing just kind of compounded on top of each other. And it was like, all right, we're down 1-0 in the first. We'll be all right. After the first, you're like, fuck, man, we're not coming back from 5. Like, you just knew that you were getting killed. So, yeah.
That snowball effect that happened last year where they'd give up one and then it would be two instantly. And Chris and I were talking about this. I forget which version of the recording, if we already recorded this or not. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Uncle Puckers.
They haven't lost going into the third with the lead.
Yeah.
We just looked through the schedule and the only game, you know, they were tied with Calgary and like we just talked about, you know, but every game they've gone in the third with the lead, they've locked it down, won the game. And, you know, look, Markstrom, you know, has his warts. You know, he's going to want that first goal back. You know, that was pretty soft. He seems to have a bit of a vulnerability underneath his arm. You know, it's probably because he's 6'6 and is just a fucking monster of a man. But when the game was on the line, 6-on-5, a couple power plays, a couple penalty kills in there, he locked it down and won us the game. You know, like that's what we want. You know, like that's what we wanted.
He's been inconsistent in that way, right? So, but I did notice during the game last night that there was a time where he made another critical save, big saves, right before we scored a goal. And that wasn't happening for us last year. So, yeah, you know, that first one's kind of questionable. I was sitting here kind of fuming. I'm like, he's got to stop that. But then he goes ahead and does that extra little bit, which is still odd that he's getting that done considering where he is in the goalie standings as far as, you know, saves that he shouldn't make. He's not doing what he normally does, which is blowing them out of the water. But he's still giving us just enough where because of that presence and that happening, like, we went off and won the game instead of them tying it or doing whatever. Yep.
Devils. Yep. And that's kind of what I was. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Devils lost 17 games last year that they led in at some point and 8 third period blown leads last year.
Jesus Christ. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 17. And 8
that
third.
That is a lot.
Yeah. 16 points, guys. Where 16 points put us next last year?
And now, you know, like last night, you know, I said this in the last episode, you know, that Montreal game was setting itself up to be a bit of a trap game.
Yeah.
It was a bad, bad team early in the season. You know, like it happened to us last year. We lost to San Jose and then these other shitty teams. And we went out, we beat a team we should beat. Yep. And we should do the same thing with the Islanders, should do the same thing with the Sharks as we roll into Florida.
Well, the Islanders, I mean, that game kind of, I mean, it always worries me whenever you play a divisional team, and I know that they can't score, but they're going to be up for this game, and it is on the island. But the only thing that makes me nervous about the Islander game is Ilya Sorokin. You know, he's the only one. He can steal. I mean, the numbers here, and then I want to ask you guys who you would start because of the back-to-backs. So, like, Sorokin right now, he's 4-3-1. He has a .921 save percentage and a 2.35 goals against average. Those are some really good numbers.
Yeah.
And Varlamov is at 1-3-1. He has an .887 save percent and a .301 goals against. But they didn't play today, so I have no reason to think Varlamov would be in net. But we do have the back-to-backs. Who do you guys play? And then I'm going to tell you what the right answer is.
I guess I'll go first. I think you go with Markey against the Island. He's de facto 1A. Coming off a win, you give him that, and then you let Allen take San Jose.
Yeah, I did the same thing. You know, you put your one in against a divisional rival. I think that's how I would look at it. And you know, those two games are back to back, but after that, we have an absolute fucking gauntlet of a schedule.
But what if I told you that both Jacob Markstrom and Jake Allen have both played 14 games against the Islanders, and that both of them are 7-5-2, but Jacob Markstrom's a .906 save percentage and a .296 goals against average, and Jake Allen is a .928 save percent career against the Islanders with a 2.23 goals against average. But
what are those numbers in Long Island on a Saturday night?
That I don't know, but. If you weren't now, those numbers
during a half moon.
Those numbers,
nothing.
Those numbers, I will get back to you of how they do against each other when the temperature is below 45 degrees in March. But first,
that's never happened again.
If you can look at those two and say, "Yeah, those numbers are too close to make a decision," right? I mean, they both won the same amount. Yeah, Markstrom. I mean, Allen has a higher save percentage, probably on worse teams. Whatever. But against the Sharks, Jake Allen is 2-5-1 in 9 games against them. He has an .851 save percentage and a 4.33 goals against average. Brutal. Jacob Markstrom is 6-8-1 in 15 games with an .898 save percentage and a 3.13 goals against average. Both these guys have had really rough time with the Sharks.
So they both got to play against the Islanders, and neither one of them could play against the Sharks.
Right?
I'm thinking you got to put Allen in against the Islanders because apparently the Sharks own these guys. You got to go with the guy with a little bit of the better numbers and just go to Markstrom because we're going to get lit up someday.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
For God's sakes.
That's funny, though.
I'd be fine with Allen.
No, I get it. I just still think, you know, and Markstrom just got this win.
Yeah.
You know, he is the one, you know. I appreciate that. I can't believe their numbers are that bad against the fucking Sharks. Jesus. And the Sharks have been terrible the entire time that both of those guys have been in the league, too.
When it comes to that game, the game, I mean, you got to get past the Islanders on Sunday. But the Sharks, I know that they're, you know, frisky and, you know, and I love Celebrini. Like, I watched that game yesterday. That kid is going to be
– Oh, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's going to be a fucking superstar. But they make so many defensive mistakes, like just so many. Like the Devils, if they're on, like that can really be a game that gets really out of hand.
You know what? It needs to be another one of those kind of no doubt kind of wins. I know coming into this game, like if I had come on the podcast first thing, I would have mentioned that, you know, optically maybe you weren't as happy with the 5-3 win over the Canadiens because we all kind of wanted to see more of kind of that clean dominant effort. But then when you kind of consider all the other things that went into it, the road trip coming back from the West Coast, how that always affects it, Montreal just playing us hard, and then the odd things that happened the game within the game, like how we were 9-for-18 on the power play leading up to that game against a leaky defensive Canadiens team and we go 0-for-3. Like these are those weird things that just right. They always seem to happen. But you know, you look at that, they got past it. I think they could do the same thing with the Sharks. Just moving on a little forward. We didn't actually talk about last week, like our predictions for the week ahead. We talked about the schedule and how it appeared, but I would have said at the time that I fully expected to beat the Habs, possibly lose to the Islanders, beat the Sharks, and then split the Panthers. That would be my expectation for a good week.
What about Tampa?
Well, Tampa's after. I didn't get that far, but I think we owe them. I think we owe them an ass beating, so we'll beat them too. But I think it's very realistic to split at least with the Panthers. I want to split at least with the Panthers. I think that's a really good showing. You know, if we can stay in those games, if they're good games, which I think they will be, and hopefully we win one or two of them, I think that's huge.
I mean, I believe that if this team wants to be taken as a serious Stanley Cup contender, they have to do exactly what you just said. They have to, you know, you can't, no one's going to like, you only get a few times a year to really kind of crap the bed to a bad team or stuff before you just become that bad team, you know? And I feel like, you know, Montreal was a good test. They did good. You knew Montreal was going to play them tough. They're coming off four losses in a row. These guys are pros too. Yep. They have pride. They're not going to walk in there.
St. Louis, he's driving that team too. He's pissed. You know, he demands respect.
Real quick, off the subject of that, did you guys think it was kind of odd last night's game that with like 2 minutes left and down a goal, they started playing like really headhunting type of hockey? Like
they were getting very chippy. Yeah.
And like, that just seems like that's a really bad time to do. If you're not down three or four, right, like you can still try and salvage this game. Like, why are you playing that way? Why are you putting your team in a position where they
right, you don't want to go shorthanded, sure.
You know, yeah, like it just made no sense to me. Like, if it's the Devils and Rangers and one of them's down by three, you totally
I think the emotions are already catching up with Montreal. The expectations were that they would be better, not great, but an improvement from last year, and they're currently not. And then you mentioned, you know, a four-game losing streak does a lot to your fucking head. You know what I mean? Whether you're the coach and the players, and you start to question things, and you start to grip your stick tighter.
Especially Montreal.
Yeah, and then you get fighty like that. And again, you know, St. Louis, he's kind of a little fighty. He's a little spark plug back there. Like he's an angry little guy. So he's getting his team angry.
I had a funny side story about St. Louis. So I worked at stick handling hockey camps in high school. My high school hockey coach was ran like these nationwide stick handling hockey camps. He got really good players to like be the instructors. And so but because he was my high school coach, it was like my summer job. And I worked at Bridgeport, Connecticut, and the other instructors were Martin St. Louis, Eric Perrin, who was his line mate at UVM, and Steve Gawala, who played for the Ottawa Senators, and me. it's kind of like one of these things is not like the other. But I had to share a hotel room with Marty St. Louis and Eric Perrin, and they took the beds. Yeah, they took the beds, and they made me sleep on the floor. But
rightfully so, I guess.
I was like, I didn't really argue all that much about this. But this is when I kind of realized I was fucking going nowhere. When they're like, hey, team, we're going to go for a run now. I was like, enjoy. I'm going to go smoke cigarettes out front. And they went for a 10-mile run, came back, and they had a cooler full of American cheese and white bread. And they just made little American cheese that white bread sandwiches. And I was hammering Domino's on one of the beds.
You're the man. Did they even give you a hotel key, or did you just have to, like, can I have one of yours?
No. Then they taught me how to play poker, and I went home and was like, Dad, I was a net negative for that week that I just worked because I came home.
He's watching the Lightning game, and you're like, that guy has my money.
There's another kind of grosser part.
That's a great story though, man. Like who gets to say that?
Wait, there's a grosser part of the story. What did Martin St. Louis make you do?
No, he just enjoyed being naked and he's gifted.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah, his big quads.
Obviously.
What else would you talk
like
about?
Crazy.
Oh my God, Jesus!
So
delete.
We don't edit, so anyway, Tim.
There's more.
We just keep rolling, buddy.
I've been dying to tell this story on a podcast, so I'm good now. I'm done,
Chris. He's got a microphone now. He's got great stories. Our plan to phase ourselves completely out is underway. Let's go,
Tim
Pucker.
The Meek shall inherit the podcast.
Oh, by the way, so I saw, you know, we were all texting before the show, so now I got Tim's number, so I put him in my phone as Tim Puckerwood.
Tim Puckerwood.
I've fucking heard this shit my whole life.
I'm sure.
This guy, I'm in my dorm every morning, walk by him, he's walking to the shower, And I kind of appreciate his relentlessness. It's just like, Morning Wood said that to me every classic day, fucking yep day. I was like, hey, Pete.
Pete and your uninteresting surname. All right, so I got to ask you guys, do a little quick run around the NHL. I got a few teams, just kind of want some quick thoughts about them and where you guys, what you guys are thinking. By the way, the Pittsburgh Penguins just beat the Washington Capitals.
They did. I saw that.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Let's start with Washington. Do you guys think that Washington is going to end up 1-2-3 in this division?
1-2-3?
Because they worry me now. Yeah.
Possibly. They do worry me. I don't know why they're still winning.
Okay, wait. Let me ask you guys this. Rank, not by, you know, just by you guys and what you've seen, the eye test so far, rank the top four in the Metro. Tim, you can go first.
Carolina, New York, Devils, Washington.
I'm going to say Carolina, New Jersey, New York, and Washington.
Definitely Carolina first. I'll give you that. I'm actually struggling to put the Devils above Washington right now, but I think that overall they will wind up above them. So I'll do that. And then I'll say the Rangers. So
you think the Rangers are the fourth
right now? Yeah. And I've got a thing I want to talk about before we end the show too, about the Rangers and their goaltending. So that would be interesting.
Well, go ahead.
Ka-ching King. So, basically, I'm sitting here looking at another awful night that he had the other night. Right, I had to make sure he was actually in goal because you were the five pass just Sturkin thing was going out again.
Chris and I were texting that. I was like, oh man, five pass just Sturkin.
You definitely got to check this.
And I quick, I was like, wait, he let five in on 17 shots. Yeah. What the hell? Or 11 shots or something? It was crazy. It was like his save percentage was like, I don't know.
Forward. So here's what got me thinking. I'm like, I want to look at Shesterkin's stats. I want to see where he's at because he's not having a Shesterkin type year. And I thought he would be pretty low. So I pulled up the goaltender stats. And to my surprise, he's actually still sixth in the league with a .920 save percentage. And this is how I sorted it, by save percentages. So by comparison, okay, I wanted to look. Anybody got to guess who's number one? Yeah, Alaba. By far. .932. Guy's amazing. Unbelievable. That whole team right now, 10-1, is pretty sick.
Which is why Igor should get almost double what he gets.
Right, but, and this is exactly where I'm going with this whole thing here. So now I compare him to Jacob Markstrom, who to my surprise is also ninth in save percentage with a .904. So Shesterkin is sixth in the league. He's got a .920 and a .262 goals against average. He is... He is 10 games, 6 wins, 3 losses, 1 overtime loss. Jacob Markstrom is a .904, a .265 goals against average, 11 starts, 6-4, and 1 overtime loss. So right here I'm saying, okay, that's pretty comparable right now. Like Mr. King is not exactly outplaying everybody in the world. Then I wanted to take it a step further, and I was really curious. Career. Let's look at a bigger spectrum because I can't just look at the 11 games of this. So in their careers, and obviously Igor's got a smaller sample set, but so I'll use about 4 years of Igor since he's been the man. Markstrom has a .909 save percentage and a .273 goals against average. So that's career right now, career average.
Okay.
Shesterkin is a .921 and a .248 goals against average. Okay. The 248 to 273 goals against average equals one additional goal scored on Markstrom every 3.5 games. Okay. So if you take the average goaltender now, starter, 55 games or so, right? You could say 50, you could say 60, but I actually looked at Shesterkin. He is averaging in his last 4 years as a starter, 55. There was a 60 in there. So I'm using 55 as the barometer. So if you look at 55 starts, say both him and Markstrom do 55 starts, right? 55 is, it would be 16 more goals in a year that Markstrom would let up, right? Because it takes over 3.5 games for him to put up a whole other goal. Sure. So 16 more goals. So we could then say, let's say we'll just split the difference. Half are in wins, half are in losses, right? So he gives up 8 extra goals and wins. Or you can even say they're all losses. I don't care. But if you just looked at it, 8-8, that would mean that in 8 losses, Markstrom gave up 1 more goal than Shesterkin. Okay? It seems bad, but here's the catch.
Talk about the micro. Right,
here's
the
catch.
Holy shit.
I'm
average
margin
of victory in the NHL is 2.23 goals. So anything over 2 goals might as well be 3 goals, right? So even if Markstrom is allowing a goal more every 3.5 games, his average margin of victory is 2. He still has a goal to play with. Now, why do I bring this up? Shesterkin, better. Markstrom, okay, he's kind of been a mid-tier, slightly above his whole career. He has these years where he stops things he shouldn't stop. But at $14 million or whatever that Shesterkin wants versus a guy like Markstrom who's 6, who maybe lets up 1 more total goal every 3.5 games that might factor into some losses with a margin that's over 2 goals per game per victory, just goes to show you it ain't worth paying a guy that much money.
Kind of can't argue with the numbers, right? I mean,
I think you just did the math that a lot of GMs in their analytics department do, and that's why goalies, teams are so resistant to pay goalies big ticket money because they see that, you know, like the difference. Colorado scored 302 goals right last year. The most goals against last year, or sorry, the least goals against, 198 was Florida, right? You add 16 to that, that's you're going from 1 to 4. It's really not that big of a gap from first to fourth. So that's why I keep, you know, you hear the term like league average goaltending. If we just had league average goaltending, we'd be winning these games because you kind of amortize that over you know a season like you did. So no, that's an incredible analysis.
And when it comes to Shesterkin, I mean, look, I watched him play Washington and they lost that game and he played out of his freaking head. I watched some of the game yesterday and I know he had a rough night, but this guy has way more good nights than he does rough nights. And I'm looking at the team in front of him and I'm saying that is going to get, it's kind of bad some nights. And that's going to get so much worse once they sign this guy to $12 or $13 million because it's just they're probably not going to be able to build the type of team that you need to build in New York to, you know, satisfy everything. Like if you had a smaller salary, you paid, you know, a guy like Shesterkin $12 million, you can maybe build a Carolina Hurricane type of team, the way you play, you know, with some lower name tickets and commit to a system and all, but that's not the Rangers.
Right.
The Rangers are high flying. They got to get the big names. They have to do everything they can do. It's going to be really hard. And you're going to have nights where your goalie doesn't play great. And the team in front of them played like absolute ass last night. And I've seen the Rangers play absolute ass a lot of nights this year. And they won the games that Shesterkin was playing. Like I think the Devils are a better team than them right now. And I think the Devils are just getting started. We talked about that. Like, I see this. We haven't even seen how good this team can be. And I think they stay healthy. They're going to be really fucking – people are going to be talking about them in a different way in February and March than they are right now, I think. And the Rangers, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Devils are better than the Rangers. You know, you look at like you're – Chris is just saying, you know, their forward depth is pretty thin. You know, I mean, their 1C is Zibanejad, who's okay. I mean, he has 10 points in 12 games. He's only got 2 goals. Like, his shot is his best asset.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how much of that is on the power play, which he feeds on. And Kreider has a hilarious stat line right now. He has 7 goals and no assists. It's like a make a player in NHL.
Well, that just goes to show you how selfish of a puck hog Chris Kreider is. That's why that's why he's not wearing the C, bastard.
But that son of a bitch. But yeah, so I think, you know, and those guys are on the wrong side of 30. You know, what's going to happen? You know, if I think Shesterkin kind of sees that. But at the end of the day, I'd take Shesterkin any fucking day over Marshall.
But I also think that there's a very good chance Shesterkin wants to go to free agency, because I think there are a few teams that will pay him any, and I think the Rangers are one of them too, that will pay him anything. Like, can you just imagine the Colorado Avalanche with Igor Shesterkin as their goalie?
Yep.
You know, once they get healthy again, that's a different level. So, yeah. Like, I look at that team and I'm like, that's a team that can go on a big time run with him and win a cup. You know, I don't, kind of guys in New York, this is probably their last really good go at it. You know, so.
But yeah, you know, but the Rangers need Shesterkin, I think, more than Shesterkin needs the
Absolutely.
Rangers. Like the Rangers need a big time marquee name, like best player at that position in the game type of player. And I think, you know, that is Shesterkin, or that's the snake oil that Dolan and Drury will sell to New York City, is that
right.
That he is that guy. The same bullshit that they sold with you know, the king with no cups. You know, it's. They need that kind of player, that marquee name in New York City to bring people in.
They do. Oh, excuse me.
It's a shame, right? You got a city of 8 million people and you need that marquee player to fill a stadium of 18,000.
Well, I mean, you got to convince people to, you know, look past the homeless guy taking a shit out in front of Dwayne Reed on 33rd Street.
On the route to Madison Square Garbage.
And the building that's falling apart. That you know.
I hate that.
Yeah, that's
the naked crackhead in the Port Authority bus terminal. But
you know her?
You get a handy from her every week. Oh,
Jesus.
Sorry.
Been there.
It's all good.
Not there. I mean, we've done it on the show before. I have not been there.
Never given you a hand job on this
that's
show.
Not what I mean.
I mean, now it's Bobby's turn. Now it's Bobby's 40
and slips is what I'm referring to.
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Oof.
This team is for real, right? Like, they're that freaking good. I watched a couple of games so far this year, and I can't wait to play them, because that's the test.
They're not win 9 out of 10 every time good, but they are super good.
I don't see any, like, cracks in that team. Like, they're super deep. They're awesome. Like, I see Winnipeg, and like right now, if I had to pick Stanley Cup final right now, it's Carolina, Winnipeg.
Really? Okay. Calling it early.
Yes.
I mean, hockey wise, it'd be a great series. It'd be a fucking disaster for the NHL though.
Oh yeah.
You know, you look at how deep that team is. You know, Kyle Connor is nasty.
Yeah, he is.
And I think that guy, you know, is going to be first line. Unless they do some Kachucks with Matthews type of thing on Team USA. And people are going to see just how good this guy is. They're going to look at him and be like, I swear to God, I bought a pack of Camels from that guy from a Sunoco on Route 22. But that motherfucker is a sniper. Josh Morrissey is probably one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. They have Nino Niederreiter, who's another Swiss Infinity Stone that I wanted on the Devils for years. Like, that guy is nasty. He's on the third line. One of the best things they did was getting out from under PLD.
Yeah.
And they got Velarde and someone else for him. Velarde and Iafallo.
Yeah, that's right. Iafallo
like,
went
that
over
was,
there.
That was, like, they are deep. Like, Nikolai Ehlers is super
they're ridiculously
fast, super
good.
Scheifele doesn't age. Like, they're just a very good, deep, well-built team.
And they have the best
Agreed.
Goalie in the NHL.
They
not
do.
New York.
They do.
You know, and Colorado should have won 6-0 yesterday with the way Gorgiev played and the way that team played, and they couldn't get anything past Hellebuck. He was fucking – that was his second shutout in a row. I mean, he just doesn't –
He's unbelievable.
And that was our whole argument when this whole thing came down with the contract to Shesterkin. Like, I just kept saying, like, what makes this guy – deserve more than Connor Hellebuyck. Like, I just couldn't figure it out. You know, that there was no way in my mind would I pay. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck, what, $8.5 million, two Vezinas? Like, he's the best there is. Neither one has won anything other than Vezinas.
Even money, you can argue. And again, we talked about like the macro economy. Okay, it's a different time. So Shesterkin might get a little more, give him $500,000 more, whatever it is. But to jump from that to 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever ridiculous number he's asking, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, so if you look at their playoff last year, Igor had a .927 save percentage.
Connor Hellebuyck had like a .65.
Yeah. Connor Hellebuck was 870. You know, and this, and I'm serious. You know, there's something to that. You know, Hellebuck is, and the Jets have flamed out in the playoffs the past couple of years.
Yes, they have. You know, and Carolina, and I mentioned them.
So is Carolina. Yes,
they're another one. Toronto. You're right. You know, no matter what happens this year, none of it's going to matter. It's all going to just depend on what they do in the postseason. You're 100% right.
The playoffs are random, man. Like, just so much random shit happens. Like, there's no way the best goalie in the world suddenly has, like a crisis of ability in the playoffs. Just, like, shit just happens to go in. I'm a big believer in that. But Winnipeg looks nasty. They look like a lot of fun. And being inside that building looks like fun. Yeah. Like, those fans have a lot of fun. You go outside that building, fuck that place. But
I've never been.
Neither have I. I have no interest in ever going to Winnipeg in my entire life. I don't even know how you would get there. I think you have to take like 3 Greyhound buses.
I would love to go to Winnipeg. I would absolutely. Another place I want to go is Calgary. I want to go to the old Saddle Dome before they tear it down.
That would be fun.
I'd love to see a game there. But all right, guys, I think if anyone doesn't have anything else, I think we're going to wrap this thing up.
One thing I did want to bring up.
Yes.
Last five minutes. Speaking of goalies, a guy that I was interested in this summer before we wound up with Markstrom.
You didn't get your guy?
We were in this hotel room and he's just walking around.
Hung to his knees.
Naked in the Port Authority.
Is he French Canadian and 5'3"?
No. Bobby knows him. He's in the Port Authority. Stolar's in Toronto.
Oh, God. He's playing well.
Fucking Jersey, New Jersey kid. Yep. Just had to give the Jersey kid some props. Made a barehanded save.
Yes, tonight. I wanted to bring that up. Really? Okay, got it.
Yeah,
he lost his blocker. That's his regular glove. He made a barehanded save. Just kind of, you know, flared it out. It was awesome.
Yeah, then he showed it. Yep. Then he showed it to the ref. He was like, "I got it."
That's awesome. I want to go watch the highlights. All right, we're gonna wrap this thing up. It's getting a little late. Thank you guys so much for checking us out and sticking with us. This was a lot of fun. Wherever you're listening to us, a like, a 5-star review, download, subscription helps a little podcast that could. For Tim and Bob, I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers, and we'll see you when we see you.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.